Welcome to Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, the channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, Suzanne Maresca, and myself, Graham Duyé. It's a pleasure to be with you. Before we get started today, we wanted to let you know that the InLight Radio team has launched a new webinar series. It's titled The Building of Nova Earth, and this is a three-part series that is taking place once a month, beginning on Saturday, March 9th. And we welcome your participation. The first webinar is titled Building Nova Earth, Where Are We Now? And we'll discuss where we're at in the ascension process, what's happening on and to the planet. We'll discuss what's coming up for people, how to stay out of the fear and doubt, how to stay patient and in gratitude. We'll talk about current global changes, and you'll receive practical tools and tips for how to approach this very important time in our evolution. And in April's webinar, we'll discuss where do we go from here as individuals, and we'll be focusing on incorporating the divine qualities in your everyday life and manifesting your desires. And May's webinar will examine how we as humanity co-create Nova Earth together in partnership with the heavenly realm and our star family. The webinars are $50 a piece, and we encourage you to sign up now. And to get more information and to go ahead and sign up, click on the Golden Age of Gaia website link on this show. Well, today we welcome your calls and participation, and you can join in on the conversation with your questions and comments by calling us at 323-784-9697, 323-784-9697, and press 1 so Suzanne can bring you into the studio. Our guest today is Saint Teresa to discuss the divine quality of purity. Welcome, Linda and Suzanne. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Be back.
How are you too? Man. I love this show. I just feel so good. So much joy about what we're doing here. And working with the two of you and our listeners, it's really a highlight of the week.
I feel it.
Truly so.
For sure. And we get to hang out with some really wonderful guests.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Tell us a little bit about Saint Teresa.
Okay. Saint Teresa. Well, we've had a little bit of this discussion before. And as you know, the saints never call themselves saints. They just call themselves Teresa or Teresa or Catherine or Bernadette. But one of the pieces of information that Saint Teresa or Teresa wanted me to share today, and this has happened in a couple of situations, because, let me back up, there are all kinds that we know of, because of course that designation of saint is something that comes through the Roman Catholic Church, and in the bigger spiritual sense, you know, we don't. It's a judgment call. It's an honor, but it's judgment as well, that someone's a saint and someone isn't. But the energy of Teresa is a collective energy. You know, there's Saint Teresa of Avila, who I think she was born in the 1580s, 1582. And she was a Carmelite nun. She is known as a mystic, one of the very early Christian mystics. And her whole thing was about prayer and the power of prayer. Then there was Saint Teresa of Lisieux, which I tend to feel when I'm channeling. I feel that part of that energy very clearly. Again, a Carmelite nun. But her whole thing was about love. And then in 1250, here's our first Saint Teresa in Portugal. Again, a nun tending to the poor. 1850s, another Saint Teresa who had a great commitment in Italy to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to that bond of love again. And then in 1770, another Saint Teresa, again a Carmelite in Italy, in Florence, with again a commitment to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. If you notice, there's a theme here. And what the energy of Teresa, as well as Saint Catherine and some others, I think I've mentioned about channeling the Big Buddha, but this is the same essence that comes to Earth again and again and again to teach us the lessons of service, of love, the power of prayer. But usually they have come as nuns, which is kind of interesting, and perhaps in the process of change, but always taking care of the sick, the elderly, the disempowered, disenfranchised. And, you know, the most recent Saint Teresa is Mother Teresa. And I don't think people think of this, that this is the same energy that comes to Earth to teach us. And there's a very big, even though the connection and the devotion, quote unquote, has often been to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the connection with the Divine Feminine and the embodiment of those qualities of nurturing and caring and stamina of the Divine Mother are really found in the Teresa energy. And the selflessness and the commitment, you know, the fortitude. And so when we start talking about purity as being really the twin of clarity, we see this in this Teresa energy. And I think that's why she sort of volunteered and asked to step forward and talk to us about this issue. And I'll stop there, Graham, and hand it back to you, because I could just go on and on.
I wanted to check in and just review briefly. We've been discussing the divine qualities, or what you describe in your book, Linda, The Great Awakening, as the 13 blessings and virtues. And for those that are just joining us in this series, we started out with prudence, and then the following week, fortitude, hope, was last week with Mary, Mother Mary. Today is purity. Next week, we'll be bringing Mary back on to discuss beauty. And for those of you who wish to follow along, we're doing this right in concert with how these divine qualities are laid out in Linda's book. Linda, do you want to give a plug for your book and how people might get it if they don't already have it?
Well, thank you. Yes, I would, because it's funny. The council has been urging me to talk to people, and I haven't done it, so I guess they're using you, Graham. The 13 blessings and virtues are what I would call a package deal. They are what we have also referred to as the divine qualities of what you need, what you already have, but what you are bringing forward, and what is bestowed upon you as a gift from the 13th octave to go forward in your wholeness and in the fulfillment of your mission and, ta-da, your ascension. So as you're going through your ascension process, as you are shifting into what we refer to as the higher dimensions, these qualities are part and parcel of you. And so often I think the blessings and virtues have sort of been a sidebar that haven't really received the totality of attention that they really deserve. So there's full discussion of this process in my book, which is a primer, really a spiritual primer, but it's also a primer on ascension. And ascension hasn't gone away, folks. It's front and center, and we're right in the middle of that process. So if you go to my website, which is www.councilofloveoff.com, CounciloofLove, you will see on the banner that it says The Great Awakening. And if you click on that, you can purchase the book either as a download or as a hard copy. You can also order it on Amazon. What's funny is when I was guided to write the book, which is to walk you through a process of ascension to get you home, I thought it would be completely a download because I wanted to keep the price really cheap. But what I have discovered is that people tend to like the book because they like to go back and refer to it. And it's, I love it when people show up at a class and it's all, you know, dog-eared and got stickies all over it and underlined. So it also includes a series of four downloads for meditations that will assist you in your ascension process. So if ever there was a time for us to be doing this, it's now.
Yeah.
And Suzanne, I want to give you a chance to chime in here in a moment. I, for me, the divine qualities, it's really clear. The reason why we're doing this series, just to speak in concert with what you've already started to explain, Linda, is this is who we are. This is the core of our essence and our being. As we reconnect to who we are, and that's love, these are the divine qualities that we embody. And these are the themes that we experience on the higher dimension. And as we're going through the ascension process, we're reconnecting to these divine qualities as a theme, and we're being encouraged and invited to embody them now. Don't wait, because this is part of bringing in the new earth and bringing in the higher dimensional state of being. And so it's moving away from this theme of illusion and separateness and fear and the disconnect that we have with others and ourselves. Suzanne, is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, I was just thinking, I agree with you completely, and it is who we are. We're returning to our original divine blueprint, and if we can be available to it and allow, then it really is much simpler than we think it might have to be. And whatever our history is, whatever bad things we've done, whatever shame we hold about our behaviors or who we are, who we think we are, it really just doesn't matter if we just allow these things to happen.
Well said. And folks, I encourage you, if you haven't been already, we have the benefit of having all of these shows archived. And actually, Heavenly Blessings has been on air for over a year now, and you can go back to every one of them. And for this particular series, again, we've been doing this for several weeks now, you can go back and reconnect to these shows at any time. So there's real value in that. And today, of course, it's purity. So with that, Linda, shall we start with a meditation?
Yeah, but before we do, I want to pick up on something that Suzanne said that really hit me in the solar plexus. And that is how we are getting rid of that shame. You know, so much of our history, individually and collectively, you know, so many of us grew up with that saying, shame on you. Mm-hmm. And those attributes or those burdens of shame, of guilt, of blame, they're all of judgment. And when you're in purity, which today we are, even as we're talking now, you're being infused with this energy. When you're in that place of purity and clarity, not in a sexual sense, but in a spiritual, human sense, it just washes away. There's no room for that shame.
Mm-hmm.
And it really allows each of us to blossom and to be who we really are, which is what you were saying, Graham. So, wonderful point, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Indeed. Well, last week we talked about unconditional support. And oftentimes, of course, we hear this notion of unconditional love, and of course, that's really important. And tied to that is unconditional support. And giving that to ourselves is so huge, and extending to ourselves compassion, forgiveness, and empathy. Now, we are human, after all, and I believe we're really doing the best that we can, and we've all made mistakes, and we've all have taken missteps, and today's a new day, this moment's a new moment, and it's a whole, we have this wonderful opportunity and invitation to do something different and create something absolutely beautiful and in concert with who we really are. So really great discussion. All right, Linda.
All right. So the color of purity is that pearlescent white. And it's the white, when you look at it, that if you move, say, the material or the energy a certain way, you see the bleed through or the shining through of the pinks and the mauves and the violets and the pale greens. So that's the ray that we're working with this morning. And it's also the ray of newborn babies. When babies come into form, when they're actually birthed into form, they come on this wonderful pearlescent white, which is called luminesa. So let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of that wonderful luminesa white, that sparkling white. When you see the sun shining on the snow, and it's got a million hues, and it's sparkling and saying hello. Of the white clouds in the sky, when there's a rainbow there reflecting into the cloud, the purity of a white fluffy bunny and a lily. Just relax and give yourself not only permission for being here, but gift yourself with this time to incorporate more of the truth of who you are. And breathe. Open your crown, that soft spot on the baby's head, and feel yourself once again like a newborn. Drift back to that time when you were just coming into form, and where the bridge between who you really are and that connection to all, to your angels, to your guides, to God, to Source, was so clear. And breathe the luminesa white. And feel it come down and fill every crevice of your head, of your brain, which is in the process of expansion and adjustment. Feel it penetrate your pituitary, your pineal, your hypothalamus. Feel it as if those sparkles of brand new big flakes of snow have covered your face and your hair, your neck, your coat. And bring that white, that purity into your heart, into your very core. Welcome it. Often, we have difficulty thinking of ourselves as purity. That somehow it has taken on the connotes saintly or holy, and we shy away from that. But you are pure. You are clear. So let that white fill you, that sparkling white, and feel your heart expanding. And as it does, feel that luminescence going out into your causal field, your mental, your emotional, your astral. Keep going. Go to the edges of your field, your beautiful sacred field that has grown so enormously over the past year. The big you, anchored in the physical, but so much more than the physical. And go back and remember what it felt like when you were first coming in, and the excitement and that sense of commitment and joy, not only joy at serving the Mother, Father, One, but the joy of being in form and of having this opportunity of being on Earth during this magnificent time of change. Yes, with all the challenges as well, knowing that you were fully equipped to do it. And relax, bring it down. Bring that white down through your body, through your torso, to your root, and feel it spill out of you, down to the heart of Gaia, gifting her with your promise and your commitment for purity, knowing her essence is purity, and joining with her. Now pull up that purity, that innate purity of Gaia, that sweetness, that clarity, and bring that up through your root, through your chakras, back into your heart, and anchor above and below. And simply rest. And receive and allow, because you're loved. You've always been loved. Greetings. I am Teresa.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome to you. Welcome to each of you. I welcome you in humility, in joy, and with wide open arms. My friends, how I have yearned to speak to you. And yet very often my speaking is quiet, so silent that many do not even hear. But my heartfelt prayer has been to touch your heart, to connect with you infinitely and abundantly, and to remind you not of my purity, but of yours. My fellow travelers, my fellow journeyers, way-showers and tenders of humanity, I am here to offer again, like the Universal Mother, unconditional support, acceptance, and love. But I also wish to speak to you about this issue of purity, about this divine quality, that each of you carry. It has nothing to do with sexuality and everything to do with physicality and sexuality. So let me begin. Your spirit, your soul, your being is purity and always has been. You say, but Teresa, I have journeyed many miles and many times upon the earth, and I have misstepped. I have made mistakes. I have harmed others. I have hurt others. Yes, you have. And you have also opened your heart and loved and tended to those you have loved and cherished, tended to the Sacred Mother, to the Son, and to Gaia herself. It is so that purity is a twin of clarity. But what does this really mean? It means a clear vision and not falling into this trap, because it is a trap, and the trap becomes an excuse, and the excuse becomes separation. And the separation becomes a very solid veil of illusion. When you are in form, there are times when you are not completely in alignment with the totality of who you are, let alone the divinity. But all of that is changing. And let me suggest to you, it has changed during each and every lifetime you have ever had, both on earth and off. There is not one of you, whether you finished your life as murderer, as thief, as cheat, that still did not hold the essence of purity, the essence of one. Your divine spark never went out. It has always, always been part and parcel of you. So the key is in the acceptance of this divine spark of clarity, of purity, of love. And in the acceptance is also the acceptance of the yearning. Everybody, saint, sinner, and everything in between, wishes for purity, but it is already there. So what I address this day is bringing this purity, this clarity to the forefront during this time of magnificent transformation. My beloved friends, you are in the midst of your ascension process. Most of you have already anchored well within the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimension. You are already there. And so you are letting go of the old illusions. And you are anchoring not only in the purity of those dimensions, but in the purity of who you are. So is there some cleanup that you are going through? Yes. Am I there to help? Yes. It is a time of clearing up. That is what the clarity is about. There is a cleanup, a clarity growing on Gaia and within all the elementals, all the kingdoms, and particularly the human race, of which you, just as I, have been an integral part of. If you had never misstepped, and I speak from personal experience, if you never misstep, how do you know the right way to go? How do you compare with your heart? This direction feels good. This direction feels like love. This direction feels like me. And that direction does nothing but make me feel poorly about myself, about humanity, and about being alive. So that differentiation has served you, and it has served you well. Akin to purity is forgiveness. Forgiveness of others, of course, always, but also forgiveness of self. You are anchoring on this beautiful planet, this Nova Earth, Terra Gaia, the new. Now, what does this mean in practical terms? It means when you walk, look out for the flowers. Be gentle as you place your feet upon the grass, or the ground, or the dirt, or the rocks. Feel the connection to all sentient beings, above and below. Bless them, cherish them. The walk of purity is the acknowledgement that all forms are equal, and that you are part of that vast mosaic of love. And you are not simply by choice a piece. You are an integral part, and you voted yourself and made that choice and decision a long time ago. That is why I have returned to the planet time and time and time again. Because like you, I am an integral part of that mosaic, and I have and have had a role to play. And I have attempted to do my best. No, not perfection, not by a long shot, but my best, with the purity of heart and intention. That does not mean that I never misstepped. And when I have returned to Earth, I have constructed and made choices that allowed me, given the culture and the times, the society, the institutions, the situation in which I could operate, not only as a nun, because what is that but a name, but in ways that did not interfere with me in my service as a woman committed to the service of the mother, the Father, the One. So in times and places, the greatest freedom was found as a nun, because it put aside other responsibilities and allowed me to pursue my spiritual path. Now, is that appropriate for each of you? No. And many of these antiquated institutions are changing or falling by the wayside. And the path of the mystic, the path of purity, is now integral to your life and to your society. And what you are saying is that we are not a group apart. Quite the contrary. We are part and parcel of the mainstream, and the mainstream is a fluff. And we choose to exist and to operate in higher realms and dimensions where this is the way it is. And we reject and we set aside and we dismiss the old third, which very often was exactly what I was trying to do. It was to integrate caring and sisterhood, because often our orders were a family, a spiritual family, a soul family unto ourselves. Now, what else does purity mean? And then I will turn it back to our beloved Graham. Purity means getting your hands dirty. It does not mean shutting yourself away in seclusion. Purity is action-oriented, clarity of purpose, of action, of movement, of intent. It's essential. It is essential to the ascension of the collective and of each of you. If you do not extend yourself into a form of action, and yes, prayer is an action, then you are not participating. Then you are back at the point in your infancy when you had a choice to either stay or go. But that time has passed, dear heart. You are part of the collective. You are part of the one. And so I invite you, each of you, join with me. There is so much to be done. So I do not choose to be a distant deity or saint. That has never been my intent. I am a sister. I am the little flower with the strongest stem. Pick me and hold me close to your heart. Thank you.
Such wonderful sharing and inspiration and words of wisdom. I love that image you just shared about the littlest flower with the strongest stem. I wanted to return to a couple of things that you spoke to. It's so helpful, I think, for us to, as we reflect on our own walk or on our own journey, and think of ourselves in the midst of distractions and temptations and the challenges of life. I think it's really helpful to have a discussion with beings such as yourself, celebrated beings such as yourself, so that we can think about how we can embody a similar way to be and a similar way to approach this walk. Please check me on this. You last incarnated as Mother Teresa, correct?
That is correct. Also incarnate for this one was indirect. Also carrying the energies of the Divine Mother. But I was honored to be the body, as it were, yes.
Well, when we think of, a lot of us, when we think of Mother Teresa, we definitely think of one who has had embodied purity and certainly embodied the masculine energies of nurturing and selflessness and giving, and certainly has been celebrated, and that continues to this day. And I appreciate how you've spoken to how you have had missteps and you've made mistakes, and you certainly have been human a number of times. So as I think of Mother Teresa, and I suspect that there are others who can join me in this, we think, well, my gosh, she's perfect. She did it right. My gosh. But I think it would be also be helpful as we think about our own humanness and our own challenges, again, in the midst of the distraction, the temptations, and the real challenge of being human. I'm wondering if you can speak to things that you've done a little bit more about how you've made mistakes. And I want to get to this discussion around what you've talked about, the forgiveness and the compassion and the understanding that this is challenging. Can you speak more to that, please?
I most certainly can. For there are none within the human body that have had the experience of the third dimension of being in body that have not misstepped. Even our beloved Yeshua has misstepped at times. None of us would ever say we are beyond making a mistake. And that is what it is, a mistake. A momentary thing, perhaps, or perhaps a lifelong habit or addiction. But there is a human tendency to make mountains out of molehills. And what happens is the beginning to focus on what is wrong rather than what is right and the course correction. Now, Mother Teresa was an incredible holy being. And I speak not of myself, but of our collective selves. With the addition of that energy of the Divine Mother. Think of it as a drop of her essence that also went into that being for that lifetime. But even as Mother Teresa, do you not think that I did not experience fear and anguish and anger? There were times when I was so furious with everybody, with those who would not support and donate. Even with the sick or the downtrodden. Why had they not bothered? Yes, they had terrible circumstances, but why had they not bothered to try a little harder, work a little more? And what about God? Where was He? Now, you hear this, and you think, you are speaking in ways that are sacrilegious. No, my friends. I am speaking in ways that are human. Do you not think I never got annoyed with the cook, with the cleaner, with some of my brethren? With society? And it was the challenge, because I was very feisty, you know, to bring back the compassion and the sense of purpose. I chose India because it was the hardest. It was the greatest challenge. And so I felt, because I know about the human capacity to wander, that this was an area where even if I wandered, I would be of service. And I could share not only my heart, but my hands. And it would force me, yes, force me, to deal with the human elements such as temper or disdain. It would make me see past everything and see the brightness of every soul I was privileged to be with, to serve. And I would bring the plight of inequality, of lack of compassion, to the minds and the hearts of many. Because in this, we would open the hearts and we would prepare people to receive love, the love of one. And in that, it would lay the foundation for going forward in ascension. So I was the early ground crew, and I was the early ground crew in the 1850s and the 1200s, and long before then. And I will be part of the ground crew again. My job, my journey is not over. Yes, right now I am assisting from this side, but my intention and part of the mother's plan is I will return yet again, and I will walk amongst you, and I will not walk amongst you in the distant future where everything is bright and clean and shiny. I will walk amongst you shortly, and I will be part of this wondrous crew of star beings cleaning up the atmosphere, the air, the water. So when you meet a star sister called Teresa, wink at me.
I have so many questions, and I want to give people an opportunity who are listening now to also ask questions. So if you have called in and you would like to ask a question or share a comment, just press 1, and so that will prompt Suzanne to bring you on. We are gods and goddesses, and we've forgotten, and you've spoken us about that divine spark within each of us. And you're reminding us of that divine spark within each of us. I am thinking of a quote that dear friend Kathleen sent to me before the show. This is when you were incarnated as St. Teresa, and you were quoted as saying, "May today there be peace within. May you trust you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith in yourself and others. May you use the gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content with yourself just the way you are. Let this knowledge settle into your bones and allow you the freedom to sing, dance, laugh, and love. It is there for each and every one of us." Is there anything else you'd like to... I mean, that in and of itself is complete and wonderful. I'm wondering if you're feeling inspired to add anything else to that.
It is to not only accept and embrace yourself, and yes, to know the joy, the sacred joy of being blessed by the One to have the opportunity to be in form, to dance, to play, to sing, to serve. You can only be, dear child, where you are. That is why we talk about forgiveness and compassion. But you can only be where you are in this very moment. Yes, what so many of you call the eternal now. The reason I emphasize this is that if you are not embracing yourself right now, then how do you go forward in knowing your divine perfection? When you say, as humans often do, well, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on the quality of fortitude or compassion or purity. You are projecting into the future, and you are not accepting and allowing that you are those qualities right now. And particularly this day, that I fill you to the brim with this magnificent purity and clarity. When you do not live in acceptance and embrace of you, the totality, your body, your mind, your soul, your feet, then you are not participating. You are not actively being that integral part of the mosaic. This is not a mosaic that sits on some church wall. This is an active, fluid, ongoing, beautiful mosaic of creation. So if you are delaying and saying, well, tomorrow I will work on that, then you do not accept the divinity that you are. You do not accept the love and the connection that you have with all of us. You, in fact, reject our partnership. Similarly, if you say, well, I have erred, I have made mistakes, and therefore I am not ready or pure, then you are also rejecting not only infinite forgiveness and compassion, but your own ability to forgive, forget. Not erase. Forget is part of forgiveness. There are some people that say, I will forgive you, but I will never forget. Well, then it is not forgiveness, is it? Because compassion is putting these things behind you and being in your heart. If you are in your heart and you become the observer of these stray passions and emotions that you think of as negative, that lead you to misstep or want to misstep, then you are not accepting of the totality of yourself. And when you move in the now to the acceptance of the totality of yourself, what you will see is that all the lesser functions of the old paradigms fade away. That is why I have focused on prayer, on love, on service. Because when you are doing that, the rest fades away. and the ability to let go of those momentary blips, shall we say, on the screen of anger or fear or disdain. They simply become, they come and go, and you look at them like a piece of dandelion fluff just floating away from you. You are in the perfection of the mother's design and plan, and you are in the perfection of your design and plan. It does not need to be altered. It needs to be recognized and embraced and lived to the fullest. To practice purity does not mean that you do not sing and dance with the flowers and the fairies. It means you do. That you celebrate the beauty that you have been gifted with and that you have chosen for this lifetime.
This is in concert with what you were saying earlier, that purity is about extending yourself and stepping into the opportunity and getting your hands dirty. And so it's a nice connection to what you were just sharing. I wanted to bring Suzanne on a little bit. I know she has some questions. As you were talking, I was thinking that it might be good to hear from you as we think about the challenge that it can be to remain centered when there's chaos, temptation, lack of harmony. I'm wondering if you can extend to us some practical tips for how to remain centered when these kinds of things occur. And if you could also please speak to how everyone is welcome on this ascension path.
Oh, everyone is welcome. It was always intended that all would be welcome and included. Then the human beings, yes, you, my friends, made some divisive choices. But then at the last minute you decided, oh, no, we made a little misstep. Of course we'll all go together. There is not one that is loved or cherished or valued more than another. That is not the way of love. Now there is this human obsession with wanting to be unique and special and slightly above the crowd. But that is not of truth. Each being, whether you have chosen a very obvious, challenging path, or to live quietly tending the garden, each are equal. Equal and in importance to the whole. So of course all are welcome. That has always been the case. That is why often I have dedicated myself to the care and feeding and tending to those who had less. Because what they were doing was giving me the opportunity to fulfill my mission and purpose, to make me a better person. And so that is key, is it not? So it is the sharing of this responsibility. When you walk through a meadow or a valley, you do not say, well, this flower is more important than these wild grasses. The bee is more important than the hummingbird. No. All are equally valued and loved. They are part and parcel of what is beautiful. Now, how do you remain centered and anchored in the midst of chaos. And dear heart, you are in the midst of chaos. Other than cement boots, it is to anchor above and below. It is to anchor firmly within your own sacred divinity self, into the heart of the planet, Gaia, and into the heart of One, into the 13th octave. This is how you persevere and get through. This is how you become the totality of who you are. And who is there out there that does not wish to live in the fullness of their being, to be all they can be, I think is your current terminology. Of course you do. But you look at the obstacles, not in denial, not in pretending that everything is rosy when it is not, but in acceptance and in knowing that what you do when you are anchored firmly makes a difference. That you, in fulfillment of your role, make a difference. That is a wonderful feeling. And when you are in that, knowing that I am exactly where I need to be, then there are no questions. Situations arise, you deal. That is all. And of course, you always, always make room for the divine assistance that is available to each of you. It is not the length of your life. It is what you do with the now. That is what is important. It is to be the embodiment of love.
Can I play that out a little bit more? You've experienced in your incarnations people who have embodied volatile, aggressive, very challenging behavior. So when exposed to someone, for example, who is yelling at you, screaming, attacking you, how do you stay in the love?
I see them with compassion and empathy, and I also, dear heart, keep my sense of humor. Yes, the sense of humor that says, why is this individual, first of all, yelling? Why do they believe in any reality, any dimension, that they would have a right to yell at me? And what is it that is so out of balance that they feel the need or the freedom to express themselves in this way? So I step back, and sometimes stepping back feels like stepping forward, and I become the observer. And at the same time, I have been known to become the mirror. So that does not mean, let me be very clear, it does not mean that I have never raised my voice. Because the person needed to hear, not because I was giving in to frustration and anger, but because the mirror required that information on what they were doing. But when you look, truly look, at someone who is yelling and screaming, and you detach from the personal emotion of being attacked, it really can be quite humorous. What on earth do they think they're doing? It is the same with those who tend to be dismissive or think themselves better than. It is absurd. The striving to be better on your own passionate journey is one thing. To always feel that there is more that you can do because you are part of the infinite universe, but to ever believe or think that you are better than anybody else is simply ridiculous.
How about a caller question? Judy from California, or rather Colorado, welcome. What's your common question?
Good morning. Thank you. I so appreciate you all. Good morning, Linda. I have a question about, as Teresa talks about, staying grounded and, of course, living the events that we've chosen to or finishing up in this lifetime here. And I've found myself in a situation with a circumstance with my mother, and the court got involved. And I am holding true to my faith, to what I believe is the soul contract with my mother. And I'm asking and entering the divine in a number of ways. And I'm trying more than anything to keep the fear out of it, because I think there could be some things, because the opposing side is choosing free will and coming from what I think is a bit of the cabal left over. So I'm finding myself wavering a little, and it's hard for me. It's a little hard for me to not be afraid, real honestly. And I'm wondering, with the wonderful things she has offered us, how I could apply those more or better or stay more in my truth, or how to best get through this.
It is to embrace the fear and to embrace me. One of the most effective ways that I have dealt with fear is to connect not only above what with Gaia, to place my feet, my body, my energy upon this mighty, beautiful planet, because she is courageous, she is filled with valor, and she is filled with truth and justice and balance. So when you anchor yourself, it helps you from being buffeted by these winds of drama and allows you to stay firm, the little flower with the strong stem, the rose. Do not forget, the rose also has thorns. So when I say to you to anchor and to be the beauty and the purity, it also means to protect your sacred self. But to stay in the love, that is the only way. And the fear is always future-based. It is concern about what may or may not happen. So when you stay in your now, then you are gaining strength.
I appreciate that. And when you say stay in the love, is that also love of the persons that I perceive to be the opponent, because that's separation, duality?
You have need to love what you perceive as your opponents, because they are showing you information about yourself and about what is not resolved within. When it is resolved within, they will disappear.
And you see me being able to do that all right then.
Of course you will. And call on me. I am more than willing to help with this clarity issue.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. I appreciate it. Thank you, Graham. Thank you, Suzanne and Linda.
Judy, it's great to have you call in today. Thanks so much for your call. Suzanne.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Suzanne, you have some questions.
Hi, good morning, and welcome, Teresa. Thank you for speaking to us in this way. As you've already spoken to, there are many that hold back from taking action in service to others, the collective, out of lack of self-love, that I'm not worthy, I can't do this, I don't have the power, etc., or, you know, the shame of whatever they feel that they've done that makes them unworthy. My question is around this, that I feel that the ascension process is largely about our perceptions opening up to what's possible for us. Those things have already been there. Those powers have already been there, but we're only now becoming aware of them. So for those, I'm wondering if it would be helpful for those that that are having trouble seeing themselves as being in purity and being able to help anyone. Would it be helpful to open perceptions to see ourselves joining with the masters and the company of heaven? Because then we couldn't help but be lifted and cleared, lifted in frequency, and just to allow that to happen. If you could speak to that, I would really appreciate it.
There is much self-denigration. Yes, shame, and underestimating, and feeling ineffectual. And at the same time, a yearning to do more, to be more, to contribute more. So often what we hear is, I don't think I make a difference. And we hear it from your hearts and somewhat from your minds. It is a belief that, oh, things are in such disarray that nothing I do can really make a difference. And of course, it is not true. It is simply not true. And as I have said, each of you has chosen to play in different fields, and some very quietly in the background, and some on a world stage. It doesn't matter where you have decided to play. The fact is, you have decided to play. So, if you think that extending yourself to help someone with their groceries to the car or to serve at a soup kitchen does not make a difference, dear heart, you are in error. But let me also speak to the unification with us. Because this is really part of the heart of the matter. We are not removed from you. We are not some distant relative that you've never met or seen. First of all, when you look to the ascended masters, these holy ones, to the mother, and to so many who have held that energy, to the Legion of Michael, to the healers of Raphael. You've known us forever, in and out of form. One of the things that surprises us, and yes, we are capable of surprise, sometimes even shock. But one of the things that surprises us is how rarely you actually call on us to be with you. I do not simply mean in moments of desperation. Let me be practical. Dearest hearts, there is nothing I would love more than for you to invite me to take a walk through the pristine snow, through the core of a city, to where the flowers grow so we can pause and smell and admire their beauty, and for us to simply be together. All of us, Saint Germain, Saint Francis, Yeshua, Maitreya, Kathumi, all of us feel the same way. And the more you invite us, might I say, the clearer we become. That you begin to see us clearly with your third eye. Now, you don't, I am not saying do not call us in moments of what you perceive as dismay or desperation, but that is not the best time to see us clearly, is it? So invite us as you would invite your best friend to go for dinner, to cook with us, to garden with us, to travel with us, to go for a bicycle ride. Francis loves bicycle riding. Do not think of us as distant entities. We are not. We are your best friends. We are the family that has loved you forever. And yes, we want to feel your love as well. We want to feel your invitations to share your life. Many of us will be walking the earth shortly. But until then, do not think we cannot walk with you. We would be honored to.
Beautiful. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Dear heart, thank you. We are friends.
Yes. I love you. I love you all. Beautiful.
Thanks, Suzanne, for those really great questions. It's helpful to know that you've had your own challenges, you've made your own mistakes, and who hasn't said, what about God, where is he? I appreciate you saying that. I'm sure we all have said that in our own ways at various times here on Earth. You mentioned that you'll be on the ground crew again. Is that going to be in the form of a fellow star being?
Very likely, yes. I have not fully made my decision and chosen my assignment, but yes. But it will be upon the earth, upon the planet, not on a distant ship, as you would think of it.
And what do you anticipate you'd like to focus on this time?
I have seen the devastation of Gaia. I have seen the pollution, the pain, the suffering of the collective. I am coming back to celebrate the renewal, to walk amongst the flowers and the cities of light, to listen to the birds and the sound of children laughing in the inner city, that I will not hear the cries of hunger, but I will hear the sounds of people cooking together in community and sharing bread and vegetables. I am coming back to see the change. Many of you have thought, where is ascension? Well, it is right inside of you and all around you. You are right there. And that is why I return. I am so excited to be on a cleansed earth where there is no suffering and pain, no poverty, no hunger, no disease. So look for me.
A cause for a wonderful celebration, for sure. You must be very excited about experiencing that in physicality.
We all are. Yes, not everyone intends to assume a form, but many of us do. And yes, it is the joy of seeing this in physicality is the gift that the Mother grants us. It is what we have all worked and waited for. This is one celebration I am not going to miss.
Can you share your perspective of what you can anticipate it will be like when humans, when beings on Earth have stepped into their divine sparks, their goddesses, their god selves, and embodying, fully embodying the quality of purity?
Think of it as joyful acceptance. You know, there have been times where each of you have known perhaps a beautiful woman or a man, but let us stick with a woman. And the beauty shines from within. It is not simply the physical makeup. Then there are those that become obsessed with their outer beauty and do everything to work it, to preserve it, and they forget to live their lives, and that the physical form that they have chosen is simply a temporary situation at best. But the beauty of those who truly embody it is a magnificent gift. That is what I see, is the human beings. And I don't mean strangers. I mean each of you. Truly shining from the inside out, that there are smiles and laughter and quiet and consideration and hubbub and the look in the eyes. You do not even look each other in the eyes enough, because they are the mirrors of the soul. And when you look in the eyes, you see the purity. You do not see hidden agendas or regret or suffering. You see simply the joy at being alive, of being given and taking the opportunity of being present. That is what the embodiment of purity and clarity is about. It is about the choice to be fully present and embody, not trying to escape, not trying to leave your body, not trying to be in the future or the past, but in the now, embracing the perfection of that. That is what I see. Now, the kingdoms have done that already. You do not see a flower debating whether it is beautiful or accepted or loved. It simply is. That is what I want, and that is what I will see. And that is what you will see and experience. It is time, not some distant date, but in your life, in this time, in this now. Many of you question, I don't know if I can do it. Of course you can. You have everything you need. And do we rev it up, spark it up, bring it to your attention? Yes. But dear hearts, you have everything you have ever needed. You already are whole, complete, and divine.
Thank you for joining us today. It's been such a treat.
Thank you, dear friends. Thank you. And go with my flower.
Mm-hmm.
Farewell.
Farewell.